That's what you need to do. Community Connection on the way next, brought to you by Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, and an opportunity to check in with at least one of the folks in from Jane Phillips Medical Center, Diabetes and Education Chairman? No.
Diabetes and Nutrition Education.
I can't read my own pen scratching. Shannon Bailey this morning, and we have some things to talk about. First of all, when you're out there educating people, frequently it's on something the doctor just gave them, a diagnosis of, for instance, the lab values came back and you said we have pre-diabetes, and the doctor unfortunately has to move on. It's up to you to say, okay, what does pre-diabetes mean? What lab values, what does it do, and what's going to do the change your lifestyle?
Exactly. Well, prediabetes is that precursor before you actually develop type 2 diabetes.
Yeah.
It usually occurs 10 years usually before you are actually diagnosed with diabetes. So it's early enough that you could either prevent, delay, or lessen the risk of developing type 2 diabetes, which is great. But a lot of people aren't aware that they've got it.
Well, and I think, unfortunately, having I've talked with other providers over, you know, over the last, I'll say, 15 to 20 years on this topic, some people take it real seriously. It's the robot on Lost in Space, warning, Will Robinson, and you find it right away. Other people say, well, yeah, that means it's coming, but I don't have it yet.
Exactly.
And so we need to keep getting the message out there for folks on what it is.
Exactly. Well, and those, I do want to hit on who's at risk.
Sure.
Because a lot of people may not be aware. If you're overweight, over the age of 45, you have a parent or a sibling or a relative that's got type 2 diabetes, because type 2 diabetes does run in families, so you have to have that genetic predisposition to develop it.
Type 2 diabetes, you're probably insulin dependent, but it's dependent on weight and other things as opposed to genetic factors.
Yeah, yeah. Either you're physically active fewer than 3 days a week, or your sedentary lifestyle would also increase your risk. If you ever gave birth to a baby that weighed more than 9 pounds, you likely had gestational diabetes while you were pregnant, which also increases your risk for developing type 2 diabetes. Or if you are of certain races or ethnicities, American Indians, Native Americans, which is really big in Oklahoma, non-Hispanic blacks, Hispanics, Asian Americans, and they all run the risk much higher than Caucasians. But that's not to say that our risk isn't high as well.
But there is a risk for all of us. It's just a matter of to what degree.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so some of it is, like you said, dietary or lifestyle. If you have a job, I'll say like mine, where I'm seated most of the time talking with people as opposed to out doing farm work, factory work, something where it's a physically stressful job.
Yes. Yes. So sitting is definitely going to make you lose muscle mass. And the more muscle mass you have actually makes you more insulin sensitive. So building muscle, having less fat tissue, and we're not saying going to Gold's Gym and getting all buffed up, but, you know, using those muscles
every
day
is very
important.
Well, not a bad idea, but it's not
going to,
yeah.
Yeah, that will lower your risk. To lower your risk for developing prediabetes, you do need to lose about 10% of your body weight, which really isn't that much. If you're 200 pounds, that's just 20 pounds. So losing 10% of your body weight and then staying physically active can actually cut your risk of developing type 2 diabetes in half.
That's
a lot.
Which
is huge.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody that has prediabetes will ultimately develop type 2 diabetes. About a third of them will. A third of them will always remain in that prediabetes zone. And another third, if they've lost the weight and kept it off, will revert back to what's considered normal, actually. So,
and again, losing weight, that's something that many people fight for various reasons, but this is something that can lead to some really complicating factors.
Exactly. Having prediabetes and having an A1C that's greater than even 5.5, the literature shows, increases your risk for cardiovascular events. And 5.5 is still considered normal.
I'm going to say, so, last I talked to somebody, it was 6. So they continue to tighten the standards.
Yes, yes, for sure. I will point out some of the basic statistics about prediabetes. About 84 million American adults have prediabetes, and only 1 out of 3, that is 1 out of 3 people that have it, and only 1 out of 10 know that they do. So that's a big 90% that have it, don't even know they have it.
Now, is that because we're not getting into the doctor for regular checkups and just not getting the lab tests done?
A lot of it, yes. A lot of it, if you're, you know, living your life and you don't have any other health problems, you probably don't go see your doctor for a regular routine physical, you wouldn't catch it on the labs. The other trick is a lot of the lab work that we do is fasting. That's not usually where we first see those spikes in blood sugar. We see them a couple hours after you eat, mm-hmm. after eating carbohydrates, and how high is your blood sugar spiking after. So, you know, if we were to test a little bit differently, I think we would catch more of them.
And, which is one reason, as far as I look at it here, and I'm not the medical professional in the room, that A1C is a good check because it's that average over the 90-day period that
it
we're
is.
Looking at.
It is. It is definitely a red flag. It will give you an average 90-day, what your blood sugar has been running. The caveat to that is the A1C is only an average. So it doesn't tell you how high you've spiked and it doesn't tell you how low you've gone. It just gives you an average. So it does catch a lot of people, though, that especially when we see them in the hospital for a heart attack or they've come in because they broke their hip or whatever, and their blood sugar is elevated, they'll say to us, well, that's because I'm having stress, or that's because I'm here and you're feeding me all this sugar in my IV. Well, we did it. If we do an A1C test, we can say this was going on 3 months ago. So it is a very good test for a lot of purposes.
On the other hand, a actual, I'll say, finger stick on a regular blood sugar test, similar to mm-hmm. what normal diabetics do on a daily, mm-hmm. sometimes several times a day basis, is something that wouldn't hurt us at all to do periodically, right?
Sure. If you're at risk, doing that would be great. I will point out that those home-style meters that you use can be off up to 20% mm-hmm. and still be considered accurate. Believe it or not, which is scary to me. So it's probably best, you know, if you really think that you're at risk, to go see your provider, tell them that you think you're at risk, and have them do the blood work, because that'll show the true numbers.
And I guess that's one reason why I'll say the doctors that are good ones to go see are always asking patient history.
Exactly. Yeah. They need to know if you have a family history. They need to know what your weight is, what your height is, what your BMI is, so they know whether or not you're at risk and whether or not to do those tests.
Now, unfortunately, those of us that are, you know, somewhat to moderately overweight, we don't like to talk about BMIs because we know there's a problem.
Yes. But ignoring it definitely won't get you anywhere. So we are doing, I will point out, since we're talking about doing something about it, we do have a new pre-diabetes prevention program at Jane Phillips Medical Center. We have joined up with a nationwide push through the CDC to lessen the risk of our communities having type 2 diabetes. And so we are doing prevention classes. We've got a current group going through. It is a year-long process. Initially, for the first 6 months, we're seeing those participants once a week, mm-hmm. you know, get those behaviors changed, start losing weight, getting more physically active. We check in with them. It's a good social support for everybody because everybody's doing the same thing. And then at 6 months, we start checking in once a month just to check, how are we doing? Are we keeping the weight off, et cetera, et cetera. It really has been a good program, and we've seen a lot of participants lose a lot of weight and really cut their risk of developing type 2 diabetes. So
that would really help once a person gets the doctor, or maybe sometimes it's the doctor's nurse that calls up the day after the appointment to say, mm-hmm. we got your labs back, mm-hmm. and this is what we had to say. And,
exactly.
And some of them will basically say, you know, just give a general description of everybody that looked pretty good except mm-hmm. this one or that one. Some mm-hmm. of them get pretty specific.
Yeah, I hope they're getting specific because I hate to hear it when people are being told, just watch what you eat, because, you know, that didn't tell the person much. Education, in my opinion, is power. It puts that patient in the driver's seat of their own healthcare. Mm-hmm. If they know what to do, how to do it, how to manage what's going on, they're in control. And who better to be in control of their bodies every day than the person themselves? So
they're with themselves
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We're talking diabetes education, particularly pre-diabetes, with Shannon, and we will continue on a Community Connection coming up in just a moment.
Announcing the new Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma. Two of Oklahoma's premier orthopedic experts, Central State Orthopedics and Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, EOC, have now merged to become Oklahoma's premier orthopedic healthcare expert, Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, PLLC. So if you're in need of back surgery, knee, or hip replacement, call the specialist at Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma now offers the best orthopedic care in the state. And I should know, it's where I had my back surgery. So whether you're in need of back surgery, hip or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, located in the Natalie Building at 65th and Yale. Call 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma.
Continuing a community connection this morning on AM 1400 K1 with Shannon Bailey, we're talking specifically about pre-diabetes. Again, that's something that people, I'll say, will often not take as seriously as they should. They say it's pre-diabetes. Mm-hmm. I'm not sick yet. They didn't mm-hmm. prescribe any pills for me. Mm-hmm. They didn't say I have to, you know, get all those kits and do daily blood sugar checks. So we're emphasizing the importance of what the doctor or what the doctor's nurse told you after mm-hmm. those labs came back.
Exactly. They definitely would not point out that something was abnormal if it wasn't important. And the scary thing about diabetes is that it starts a decade before you're actually diagnosed with it. And many, many, many people are unaware that there was ever a problem. So they didn't have the opportunity to intervene and prevent it or delay it.
There are conditions that I'll say run around with diabetes. Mm-hmm. Diabetes may be the main problem, but mm-hmm. because you're diabetic or pre-diabetic, mm-hmm. there are a list of things that run, and I don't know the whole list, but I know some of them. Mm-hmm. Obviously, heart disease, stroke are a couple of big ones. Mm-hmm. Just because it also causes atherosclerosis frequently,
yes.
you have all those other problems that are there. Yes. If you're overweight, you probably are at risk for sleep apnea and
yes.
everything that goes with that.
Yes.
What else?
Well, you know, once you have diabetes, you're looking at anywhere your blood can go can be damaged by all that glucose that's in your blood. So all the nerves in your body can be damaged, which is called neuropathy. Usually we see that in hands or feet, mm-hmm. numbness, tingling, burning. People just feel like, you know, their feet are asleep and they
yeah.
can't feel them, which is dangerous because they get a cut or a sore, or they may not realize they've injured their foot, which leads to amputations.
And I think sometimes people will say, well, I just, you know, I'm getting older. I can't stand to stay on my feet all that time.
Mm-hmm.
That may be what it really is, but it mm-hmm. may be complications
mm-hmm.
of something else.
Exactly. And getting into your provider and getting a foot exam is extremely important when you're at risk or have diabetes. The other things that could happen are renal disease or kidney failure. I would say a vast majority of people on dialysis are on dialysis because of uncontrolled diabetes, maybe uncontrolled hypertension also, but a big portion of those people doing dialysis are related to uncontrolled diabetes. Loss of vision can also occur. There are a lot of different long-term complications of diabetes, so it does warrant a red flag when you have pre-diabetes and to focus on that and pay attention.
Many ophthalmologists or optometrists are asking that diabetes question now when you go
mm-hmm.
in to have your eyeglasses prescription checked, because
mm-hmm.
they can do a retinal scan, and
exactly.
that will frequently show overall health because of what's going on in the eye.
Exactly. Yes, people with diabetes do need to have their eyes examined annually. The neat thing about that is if you don't have vision insurance, you don't need it because it is a medical problem. So you can go in annually to your eye doctor under your medical insurance for a diabetes exam, and they will do that. They will look at the retina to make sure that you're not developing any retinopathy.
That's great. About 15 to 20 years ago, there was a class of drugs that came out, Actos being one of the more better known the class of that drugs, but some side effects are keeping the doctors from prescribing that class of drugs
mm-hmm.
in many cases.
Mm-hmm. Those are the TZDs, I believe, that you're talking
yep.
about, Avandia
yeah.
and Actos.
Yeah.
Those two.
Some of them are oral meds, some of them
uh-huh.
are injections, yeah.
Yes, yes. And I would say most medications, regardless of what you take, do carry risks. So,
Dave, 30 years ago they were saying, and I believe it, if aspirin was a new drug, it probably wouldn't make it on the market due to side effects.
But yeah, exactly. When we've all heard the commercials.
Yeah.
If you have all these symptoms, stop using the drug. I mean, there are so many risks, but that doesn't mean that the medication isn't right for you. And I think that's what your provider is there to do, is to balance, you know, what is the risk, what is the benefit, and what do I need to watch for in this patient if I put them on this medication. Mm-hmm. So we still see quite a bit of Actos being used for the appropriate patients. Obviously if they've got congestive heart failure, we're not going to put them on that because it does cause increased fluid retention. So
Right. That
wouldn't be a good drug for that patient. But again, that's where your provider is very important to help you make those decisions.
Asking the questions in the provider's office, and I know that many of them have got hectic schedules and don't get to spend the time with any patient that they would like to. But if you walk into your doctor's office with a list of questions, most will sit there and answer every question you have for you.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's important, especially if you have a history in your family of diabetes, you're already overweight, you're over the age of 45, or maybe you're Native American. That would be what I walked in. My very first question is, I am at high risk for type 2 diabetes. Can you check me? And they would know exactly what labs to do. And they may do an A1C, they may do a fasting glucose, they could do a glucose tolerance test.
Mm-hmm.
But they will do the appropriate test to find out if you do indeed have it.
Yeah. You mentioned that the class that you're running at Jane Phillips, and
yes.
I want to make sure that people get the opportunity to find out about that more. First of all, you say it's a year-long event. Some of
mm-hmm.
them are, but you slack off after the first 6 months.
Yes.
But I think if somebody's going to say a year, I don't want to commit that kind of time.
Yeah.
There's a reason you're asking for that year.
Yeah. It is all about behavior modification. And we know, after reading the literature about education and changing lifestyle behaviors, it's not something that we can just tell somebody to do and they go home and they read on the internet and they just choose on their own to do it and it sticks. We know that to change behaviors, you have to do it consistently for several weeks, sometimes months, to really ingrain that into your new lifestyle and to get those changes to stick within your life. And so that's, I think, what the CDC is really trying to focus on, is behavior modification for the long haul, because this isn't a sprint, this is a marathon. We want patients to, or participants in that program, to make small changes over time that they can live with forever.
And something you told me during the commercial break, it doesn't require a physician's referral into the program. You say, I heard about it on the radio, I want to get in the program.
Exactly. That is a difference. You know, to come see our dietitian or to come see our nurse educator for diabetes education does require a provider referral. But for the pre-diabetes or the prevention program, diabetes prevention program, it could be a self-referred referral. So you can just say, hey, I'm at risk. I would suggest going out to the CDC or diabetes.org and taking the type 2 diabetes online risk test.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. It just asks you a few questions. It'll rate your risk for developing type 2 diabetes. And if you're at high risk, give us a call. Our phone number is 918-331-1143. And we will get you hooked up in the next group that we're going to start and get you headed in the right direction.
First of all, somebody's going to say, well, are there costs involved? And I say, well, at least I don't know what you're charging, but the costs mm-hmm. of sometimes eating better or getting into the exercise program, even if it's walking, there mm-hmm. are some costs already mm-hmm. in that. So there
Definitely.
Will be costs involved.
Yes. Currently, because we are working on certification with the CDC, we are doing a low-cost program. We are offering it for $60. $60 for the whole year.
That's great.
So if you want to pay $5 a month for the 12 months, great. If you just want to come in and pay your $60, that's great. We don't care. So we're doing a low-cost thing. We're waiting. We're kind of dragging our feet, waiting on the private insurance groups to jump on and start covering the service. Medicare has already started covering it. We have to be certified as a program in order to bill Medicare. So we're building up our program so that we can get certified and start billing Medicare and start billing insurances. But for right now, we're just doing a $60 for the whole year.
If somebody wants to sign up, can you do it with a phone call, or do you need to stop by the hospital someplace?
Either is fine. Phone call is probably the easiest, but if you're in the area, you can stop by the office and let them know that you're interested in the prevention program.
Okay, so stop by the hospital and tell them that you want to get involved in the diabetes prevention program, and they'll put you on the list for the next time the class starts and
exactly.
give you a call.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And again, we have been talking pre-diabetes and diabetes prevention on 1400 K1.
ONN News, I'm Sean Carey.